Welcome to the Andy Social Podcast. My name is Andy Dowling, and this week's shout out, that's right, folks, straight into it, head first, none of this pencil dive bullshit. Each and every week, I thank somebody that supports me and the podcast, and it can be a range of different ways. It could be a bit of social media love, a message of encouragement. It could be shouting me a beer via the PayPal button over at andysocial.net. It could be buying some merchandise, a t-shirt or whatever from the online store. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Big or small, it helps me, keeps me fuel, keeps me motivated, and keeps this podcast going. So thank you so much to everybody that supports me doing something that I absolutely love to do. So how cool is that? Thank you so much. So each and every week, I thank one person that does one of these amazing things for me. And this week's shout out is for Emma Jane Holmes. Now, you remember Emma from episode 145 of the podcast. Emma is a death care professional, and Emma is in the midst of writing a book, which is due out early next year. And it's all about her time working in the, I guess, the funeral industry and being a death care professional. If you are curious about that and you haven't heard the episode, go and listen to episode 145. A really, really cool person, great story. And I'm looking forward to catching up with her sometime in 2019 when her book eventually comes out. But the reason why Emma is on the weekly shout out is because a little while ago, Emma shouted me a beer via the PayPal button over at andysocial.net. Completely unnecessary. I think Emma has contributed more than enough to this podcast, but that was really, really cool of her to do. So Emma, shoot me a message when you got a chance. I'll shoot you a message and I'll get your details and I'll flick some cool things out in the post. I've got a little care pack that I'm putting together. And I must say with the care packs, just a little bit of a tangent. Thank you so much to everybody that's been donating things for the care pack, musos, people that have their own businesses, lots of little cool bits of promo material. It's just super cool to get all this stuff that's contributing to the podcast, and I'm able to give it out to people that support me as well. So if you've got stuff lying around, you've got any little coupon codes or any little CDs or things like that, shoot them over and I'll be more than happy to get them out to all the Andy Social listeners. So thank you very, very much. Now, if you didn't know, folks, I play bass in the Australian heavy metal band Lord. And if you love a bit of old school heavy metal, you can go to lord.net.au. You can go check out our page. We've got Spotify playlists. We've got all of our video clips there. We've got links to our online store. We can buy merchandise. It's a great way to get a taste of what the band is all about. So you can go to lord.net.au and check that out. And a massive thank you, I must say, to everybody that came out to our first Melbourne show in about 3 years at Max Watts. We headlined Max Watts on the 22nd of September. Really, really cool show. I was shitting bricks because it's been so long since we played a show. I think the last time we played a show was with Dragon Force last year. So it's been a while, but really, really cool to play in Melbourne again, and great to see so many friends and meet a lot of new people as well. And it's really, really cool to get some great feedback from people that have been listening to the podcast as well. So thank you so much. Great night. And the next Lord show will be the 3rd of November in Sydney at the Bullface Stag in Leichhardt. So if you want tickets to that, you can go to lord.net.au or to andysocial.net and click on the show link there. In addition to playing in a metal band, I also host the Self-Starter Podcast, which is all about small business, self-employment and freelance. Dancing. And, you know, if that tickles your pickle, you can go to selfstarter.com.au. You can search for Self-Starter in your podcast player as well. This week's episode is with Aaron Chen. Aaron is a comedian from Sydney. You've probably seen him on SBS Viceland or ABC Comedy iView. He's all over the TV. He had a video that went viral a couple of years ago where he was doing some commentary for SBS at a soccer match in Sydney. I think Liverpool played it. Anyway, that went viral. I'll chuck that video in the show notes so you can check that out. But really, really funny guy. We caught up at the Factory Theatre in Marrickville, which is in the inner west of Sydney. And we hung out in one of the storage containers when you first walk into the Factory Theatre, for anybody that's been there. And on the right-hand side, there's a couple of storage containers there. And I didn't know. I thought literally there was just shit in there, like storage containers. But there's little live rooms that are set up in both. And it's totally pro-done. There's chairs and There's chairs at the stage in there, audio set up. And they must be used for comedy festivals and I guess maybe smaller performances. But really, really cool what the Factory have done there. So we took over one of those bunkers, sat in there for about an hour, and we literally just talked shit. This is a really fun conversation. Just a lot of rubbish being spoken. Aaron's a really, really funny guy, and I really encourage you guys to check out his stuff. I'm going to put a whole bunch of videos in the show notes over at andysocial.net. I'll put links to Aaron's two Facebook pages, his Twitter and Instagram accounts. He's got a lot of funny stuff online, so I'll definitely direct you guys to all of that stuff as well. But enough of me. Please enjoy this really funny chat with Aaron Chen. thanks for bringing me to your bunker in Marrickville.
I know. It's pretty high tech, eh?
It's, as I was saying before, I never knew this existed, but it's probably been here for a few years.
Yeah, we're in the Factory Theatre.
Yep, on location.
On location. It's the terminal. It's like two containers put together, and it's like now a theatre venue. It's pretty sick.
What do they put in here? It'd be probably comedy?
Yeah, maybe, mainly comedy stuff. Yeah, I think only comedy stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't put a band in here?
No, it is. I mean, it's pretty spacious, but not for a band. I think you'd be a little bit of claustrophobia. But have you done anything in these rooms?
I think I have. I've definitely seen shows here, but I don't know if I've actually performed in one of these containery rooms. But I think I will. I am about to in September. So
yeah, okay.
I'm excited. The container.
Do you do a tour, or is it more of a case of you just do shows here and there, spot shows?
I guess the tour is like the festival circuit. So like you would start by doing if you're a Sydney person, you'd start by doing the Sydney Fringe, and then you'd go to like Brisbane maybe to do the Brisbane Comedy Festival, and then Melbourne for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and back up to Sydney to close it off, and maybe Perth.
And is that something that, like, I guess from a booking agent point of view, they just get you onto that circuit?
Yeah, you just get into the festivals. That's the easiest way to sell tickets for a comedy show, I guess.
There's a bit of tall poppy syndrome in Australia. So, you know, if someone's doing really well, there's usually somebody else out there to cut them down to size.
Yeah.
With comedy, do you get a lot of shit if you try to go off on your own and do your own tour with your name against it? Or is it something that you sort of have to follow a particular path to get, you know, the recognition first and the respect before you go out and go, I'm doing an Aaron Chen, you know, tour now?
I don't know. I think no one cares anymore. If you can pull it, that's sick, you know? And if you can make it funny, that's cool too.
Well, I guess that's
Carl Barron's the greatest of all time, and he's doing all the RSLs.
And that's right. Hey, for a band, if you can get on the RSL circuit, you're killing it.
You've made it.
That's it. That's some fuck, yeah. That's some reoccurring revenue right there and a stable
audience. I
hope
like Tame Impala gets the RSL soon. Good luck, boys.
In metal and in music. Yeah. We stereotype each other.
Yeah.
So you'll have the bogan metalhead that just listens to like Metallica and AC/DC or whatever's on Triple M.
Is AC/DC metal?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. Yeah. So if you've got your typical sort of Aussie bogan that loves like hard music, then AC/DC is a metal band. But then you'll have someone on the other end of the spectrum who's like the elitist metalhead that only listens to, you know, metal bands from a certain era in a certain part of the world, a certain niche genre of metal.
80s Scandinavia.
Yeah, there you go. So I can see that you're an elitist metalhead there.
No, I have no idea, but that's what I'll go for, you know?
Yeah, you're pretty much on the money. And then you got all these other ones. You got like what I like to call like the Man of War fans. They're the guys that are usually from Melbourne. They like to wear like button-down T-shirts with their chest exposed a little bit. They do weights and they love, fist-pumping, and they're all about true heavy metal.
What bands are that?
So there's this band, Manowar, but they'll...
Who's killing it the most in metal right now in Australia?
In Australia? This will be controversial.
Yeah.
Parkway Drive.
Yeah, cool.
But I'm sure there'll be a bunch of people that listen to this go, oh, Andy, you didn't call them metal, but they are a metal band. So, and that'll be some of those guys that are a little bit more passionate about it. So you've got all these different people, and depending on where you are from the country, there's a bit of a stereotype around it. So Melbourne seem to be very passionate about heavy metal. Like it becomes a religion for them.
Yeah.
Sydney's pretty wishy-washy. Unless you're from the 80s and grew up in that era, then you're pretty dedicated.
What do you mean by wishy-washy? Like people...
And they're not as passionate about it. So
casual metal fans.
That's it. And you got to drag them out to a show. It's got to be pretty amazing for them to come out. Otherwise, like, oh, why bother? I'll just see them in the next 5 years or whatever. Like, I'll just watch it on...
Hell yeah. That sums up Sydney as a whole, don't you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah, big time. Yeah. I was going to say, is comedy probably the same as far as getting people out?
I guess because Melbourne has, like, the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Like, everyone in the city is just geared towards that. Not everyone, but, like, it's just, like, there's banners out. It's a huge thing. You know what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, a cool vibe. Sydney Comedy Festival is smaller so far, but it's been running less. But I think, like, Sydney rooms get, like, the regular year-long rooms, like, they get a dedicated audience, like quite a sizable audience, and you have like the comedy store, which is like a club gig, like it's probably the best club gig in Australia.
Do you get mean, what sort of people, like, most people love comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you don't love comedy, it's, there's probably, I don't know, maybe
some
sort of mental issue there. But, like, do you get a range of different fans? So, like, as I was saying, like, we categorize each other all the time.
Yeah.
And we're really sort of judgmental at times of, as far as what we think people are, and we size them up. But from a comedy audience point of view, I class myself as the equivalent Bogan comedy fan.
Yeah. So, who's your guys?
Well, fuck, I don't know. Like, I'll know a bunch of, like, famous American ones.
Yeah.
And then in Australia, there's probably only a handful that I know of.
Yeah.
And I haven't been out to a comedy show in ages.
But you know about Sam Campbell.
But I only found out about him.
Yeah.
Through him supporting Bert Kreischer.
Sure. At the end. I didn't know he did that. That's...
Yeah. And
how did Sam go supporting Bert?
Well, I'd never.
Because they're very different. Bert's very a party different. Boy with his rig off.
Very different style of comedy.
And Sam's got quite a small frame.
Yeah, that's right. So aesthetically, yes, very different. Now, this is where, and I'm a bit blonde as well, because it takes me a while to catch on to things. I didn't know what he was doing to begin with, because he's got this unique style of comedy. And I thought he was bombing to begin with. But I think that was part of his routine, where he's got this awkward sort of interaction with the audience. And there's people in the audience that were heckling him, and he just totally fixated on that, but it became part of the show. So I don't know if that's part of his routine, because I've never seen him since. I've seen some stuff online. But I remember just sitting there laughing, because I just thought that this was going off, this wasn't structured. But I think since he was on the panel not too long ago, he did something in the panel, and it was very similar with the way that he's approached it. I think he did really well, but different sort of crowd.
So you're a different crowd.
Yeah.
You're a Bogan fan.
I'm a Bogan fan, which means that... probably pretty ignorant, don't know a lot about the scene, probably don't know a lot about who's who, especially in Australia. I'm more probably fixated on what's going on overseas.
Yeah.
Just and the type of fan that I get frustrated with as a musician, and it's like, stop looking overseas, look at what's here. But do you see a lot of that, like, as a comedian when you do your shows, that you've got to sort of cut through a lot of that sort of stuff when you're doing sort of the bigger stuff?
Cut through, like, the different fan base.
Like, just some of those more sort of the Bogan comedians that probably don't know a lot about comedy. So they're probably the Carl Barron, the fans.
Barron's sick. I wish he was around more. Like, I think he's so elusive because he's never around. But, like, I don't know. I just think, like, with social media and stuff, like, you just get your own audience and people come to stuff. There's, like, different scenes, but I think it's less defined because it's so new, and there's, like, less... I feel like metal's quite, like, theatric in its subcultures and stuff like that, so you can tell who's who. But, like, kind of in comedy, the lines are pretty blurred between, like, alternative and, like, mainstream. Like, everyone kind of does the alternative rooms and the clubs and stuff.
So,
but there are, like, niches like improv and, like, Greek comedians.
the Greek. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take on Greek comedy.
Yeah, take on Greek comedy. I'm thinking of transitioning.
Yeah, I think you do really well. But, I mean, okay, so dumb question. What's the difference between sort of alternative versus mainstream? I mean, it could just be exactly what the words mean, but what would define somebody being an alternative comic or working alternative rooms?
I don't know. I feel like it's, like, changing so much, because, like, 5 years ago there was, like, more of a divide where alternative people were doing, like, much weirder shit and, like, experimenting and, like, trying to be as weird as they could, and club comedians were, like, being quite hack and doing, like, racist shit and stuff like that. But, like, nowadays, like, alternative in air quotes want to do, like, club gigs and do well in, like, the club scene and do just funny shit, and club comedians don't want to be hack anymore, so it's just like everyone's kind of in the middle.
Blending in a little bit more. Yeah, it's, I mean, I guess there's a bit of a, I mean, as you said, it's blending in, but there's still that segregation in a way of still labels there. So, like, you know, metal, you've got a whole range of different genres within metal, and people get pretty purist about certain things. So I'm sure you'd have people that probably would shit on that sort of alternative stuff and be more of a mainstream fan, and vice versa. From a fan point of view, I'm sure the comedians is probably a little bit more blended in.
Yeah.
But from an audience point of view, I'm sure there'd be people that are quite passionate about either or.
Yeah, totally. Like, oh, maybe. I think, like, if you go to the festivals, you're likely to see, like, quite a mainstream act and a weird act, especially if you're in Melbourne, because you just go to, like, if you're a comedy fan, you'll go to a lot of shows. Like, there's a whole month of time to go.
But doing those festivals as well, because you've got that mix, you'd have a mix of an audience as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, how much heckler action would you get with just people that would probably be there for a different type of comedy than what you're doing?
Yeah. I don't know, like, a bit. I think because people, sorry?
Or you just zone out.
Just zone out. I don't know. People come to your, it advertises your show, so people generally come for you. But I do get, like, old cunts who want something. who think it's something other than what it is. But, yeah, I don't know. It's been all right. I haven't had too many horrible experiences.
The type of comedy that you do and some of the other guys are doing, it's like, and I'm just making up my own descriptive words here, but there's this awkward sort of perception and sort of character that's being put out there. And I would certainly assume that for somebody that's not at a comedy festival, not knowing what the intention is and sees you online or a video that pops up in a newsfeed somewhere, wouldn't get it and wouldn't understand that you're being funny. Like, you know, so the one that you did with the soccer match commentary.
Are you a soccer fan?
No.
Are you any sports fan?
I like basketball.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was into basketball in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people. And then when it died off, I just died off as well. And then I sort of came back and now I'm like this half-assed fan. So whenever something sort of controversial comes out, I'll throw my opinion in there. Probably once again, like the bogan casual fan, which I'll probably see whatever comes up in the headlines. I know a little bit about the NBA these days. I pay a bit of attention, but I don't really watch too many games these days. But soccer, sure. I've got an Italian wife.
Yeah.
They all grew up, her family all grew up in Bosley Park, right near Club Marconi.
Hell yeah.
So,
NSL.
Yeah. So I've, as a proxy, sort of learned a little bit about it. Yeah, a little bit of it. But some
beautiful game.
A beautiful game. I've got no idea though. but when you did something like that, and I guess just some of the comedy that you do, you know, people wouldn't get it. Like you, we would have had reactions from people that just didn't know that you're actually putting on.
Yeah, but that's funny. That's funnier that people don't get it. You need people to not get it for it to be funny to me.
That's the charm of it.
Yeah, like, because it's got to be the butt of the joke. That's just, yeah, it was sick. It was the best time of my life. I want to do stunts forever. You know, stunts are so fun.
Well, you've done a little bit of TV as well. And, I mean, that's probably more, not scripted, but there's a bit more planning to it.
Sure.
So is that something that you'd probably prefer to do or you want to go into more of that domain rather than like your traditional stand-up?
I don't know. I'll take whatever I can get. I've just been at home for the past month.
Just sitting around?
Yeah.
You live in Marathon.
Taking ketamine to go to sleep.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Especially with the planes going over.
Yeah.
You've only just been living in Marrickville for a little while?
A few years.
Yeah. Yeah, but where were you before that?
In the north, Hornsby. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. It's one of those ones where you sort of, you drive past it, but you don't. Like if you're going up the coast, you just see the sign, you go, oh, that's Hornsby. It's actually not. It's like a bit further up.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
So you have to actually go in there with a purpose.
We've got an RSL.
You got an, oh, sweet. Yeah. So you know the civilization there.
Yeah.
What do you think of Marrickville compared to Hornsby?
Marrickville's good. It's like there's everything there.
Yeah.
I think you forget that when you're... I think you forget how little shit there is in Hornsby when you've been in Marrickville for a while. Like, I go back and visit, and I'm like... It's like going back in time a little bit. And it's only an hour away, you know?
Yeah,
because it's, like, separated from the city. If you're living in Hornsby, you're kind of knowing that you're making a decision to be far from the city.
That's right. Either because of...
You don't want to be around people.
Either that or you are like at the bottom of the food chain and there's just no way you can get any closer.
Yeah. but Hornsby now is kind of expensive to get into.
I was
going to
say, pretty much anywhere that's connected to Sydney is expensive now. Yeah. It's crazy. But, I mean, I get the same thing down the coast. you know, as soon as you get probably past Wollongong, it feels like you've regressed like 20 or 30 years. Like you've just gone back in time. And so people are like still working out what the internet is or, you know, trying to, you know, especially social topics and things like that. It's just, it's some scary stuff that happens outside of the built up areas.
So you just bought a house?
Yeah. About 3 years ago down the coast.
How many bedrooms?
Three.
Three bedrooms.
Three bedrooms.
How much did that set you back?
Maybe about 300,000.
Fuck.
So not too
bad. House.
Yep.
But big yard?
Nah, tiny.
Tiny yard. Tiny, but you still have a yard.
Yeah, a little one. Little, like there's a patch of green grass that I try to keep green. Yeah.
Three.
There you go. The milestone of life, you know. Now I'm a property owner. Now I can like.
What do you do during the days?
Just sit around, you know. Cool. A bit of podcasting.
Yeah.
Do the music stuff. Try to, I don't know, be a bit of a rock star. But that's, you know, that's a bit difficult to do.
Yeah.
You know, metal doesn't pay the bills.
It doesn't
pay
the bills?
No, not really. Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I sort of do this podcast stuff as well.
Does this pay the bills?
It's a sum of everything.
How many listeners are you guys on at the moment? Are you
For the band or the podcast?
The poddy.
Get a few hundred per episode. So that's not too bad.
Shouts out to the few hundred.
Yeah, mainly Australia, but I get quite a few from the US as well.
Cool.
And then last year I had this spike from Japan and I'm like, oh, this is sick. Like, and we played in Japan a bunch of times. So I thought, oh, it's because of the band, you know, and everyone's just working it out. And so I'm like, at the end of my episodes going, oh, shout out to my friends in Japan.
Yeah.
Cheers for tuning in. And then I started listening to some other mates that have got podcasts and they're like, oh yeah, we've got an audience from Japan that's starting to tune in. This is amazing. I'm going, hang on, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And then they realized all the podcast hosts were getting spammed by bots and they weren't even real Japanese people. And
so shouts out to the bots in Japan.
And so then for the next like several months afterwards, everybody's going, oh yeah, don't worry about those Japan fans. Like the Japanese, they're not even real. They're just bots. And so like, okay, no worries. And so I sort of just never said anything. I just pretended that, you know, never happened. So, but yeah, sometimes you get weird ones from like, I don't know, like Lithuania or something like that.
Yeah.
There'll be like one download and you think, is it actually a legitimate person that just found me? So
hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, hit us up. Yeah,
Lithuania.
Definitely. Yeah. Mr. or Mrs. Lithuania.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool, though. I mean, the Americans love a podcast. I mean, there's freaking heaps of them over there.
Do you ever interact with your fans, your pod fans?
My pod fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to do a fair bit of it, like on Facebook and stuff like that, and I do a shout-out as well.
Yeah.
So if someone, like, buys a T-shirt or some merch or whatever, or I've got like a PayPal button.
Yeah.
Instead of just saying, give me money, I've written, shout me a beer. And so every once in a while I'll get something that comes through. So I'll just do a shout out for that person and send them some shit in the mail. It's usually some crap that I've like gotten for free over the years that's sitting in a box. And I just put it in an envelope and send it out.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you do Patreon?
No. Well, oh yeah, man. No, but there's so much stigma around it where you got to do it really well. Otherwise people just shit on you so bad. I know a lot of comedians have Patreons.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think of it? What do you think of that sort of, it is kind of crowdfunding, but it's different.
I know a few people in Australia do it, but like in America, it's crazy.
It's massive.
Like I listened to a couple of podcasts. One of them is on like three dudes and they get like 37,000 a month. Another one's like on like 100,000 a month.
Wow.
Between like 5-6 people.
I mean, maybe Americans like just keener to.
Well, I think it's just a global audience and it's like just $5 and you get premium episodes and stuff.
I guess so.
There's like incentive to.
Well, that's probably the thing that's probably held me back as well, because it's like, oh man, I'm going to have to do extra work. I'm going to have to like do stuff that like justifies them paying money. At the moment, it's just like free.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And if they buy something, then it's like, okay, cool, they're actually getting something. But then if they start like giving me reoccurring money every month, then it's like, oh, fuck.
You've got to do it.
I've got to do it. Yeah. Like, you know. I think it would eat at me if I suddenly stopped doing this for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Just for myself. But there'd be so much extra pressure if suddenly someone's throwing me, like, even if it was just one of those ones where it's like, oh, just pay a dollar a month.
Yeah.
If I just had like a few of them, that would just send me insane, because I'd be like, oh man, that person spent a dollar on me. Now I've got to like create bonus content and some other shit, or, you know, have a ranting episode, or I don't know, some other rubbish.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'd probably do it one day, but I think I'd have to really think about how to do it and do it properly, because there's a bunch of shit ones out there where people are sort of just going, give me money and
do bare
minimum. Yeah. But it's all right. I mean, it makes a little bit of money and band does a little bit as well. But I used to live in Marrickville.
Yeah, cool. Whereabouts?
On Addison Road.
Cool.
Just down the road from Vicon Park.
Yep.
And that was the first place I ever lived when I moved to Sydney. I was originally from Queensland.
Hell yeah.
I love Marrickville, Oregon. It's cool. I mean, and I've lived in like outer suburbs, and I've lived in like rural country towns as well. And I'd love to move back here, but it's really, really freaking expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can buy here.
Oh, I'd like to buy here, but I don't know about that. Yeah. It's crazy. Would you ever buy?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah?
Yeah, no offense. Yeah, I'll buy anything. I'm actually a billionaire.
Are you a billionaire?
Yeah, yeah. I've got like 5 Teslas, about to buy 3 big apartments. Huge.
Where have you bought the apartments?
Vaucluse. Got,
yeah. That was where I was thinking straight away. That'd be the first one. Yeah. Start in the cheapest area
Hell
first.
Yeah. Start small and then diversify.
That's right. I mean, it sounds like you've been listening to a lot of financial podcasts. But it's weird, like around here, like all the pubs are getting redone. There's so many more like places that are opening up in industrial areas, like little nook and cranny, little cafes, and breweries are opening up, like microbreweries and all that sort of stuff. And it's like, I think that's probably why the area is more expensive as well, because people are gravitating here. But Marrickville Metro is just like the same shithole that it was like 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, Metro's sick.
Yeah. It's your kind of place.
Yeah. Well, you know how Newtown never had a McDonald's?
And then they got an Oporto, and I didn't understand why Oporto got a foot in.
Because it's kind of like local, I reckon.
Is it? I don't know.
Do you reckon they'll ever have McDonald's?
I reckon it'll
What's happen. The rule? Like, do you know what the rule is? Like,
yeah.
Or just people have collectively decided not to have a McDonald's right now?
I think it must be some sort of like local council thing.
Yeah.
And they're probably, just because of the area, probably people that are part of the council or committee or whatever are probably local business owners, and so because it's always been pretty independent, they probably had quite a big say into as to who can be there. And I don't know, like,
do you rate Oporto? What's your fast food chains in order?
Oh fuck! All right, okay. Now you can put me on the spot. This is dirty to say, but I reckon probably Macca's is number one, and only because it's everywhere.
Yeah, and it is tasty.
It's a volume.
It's consistently good.
Yeah, and yeah, no matter where you go, you're pretty much on the money. You know what you're going to get. One that probably isn't a popular one, but I put number two is Red Rooster.
Really?
Yep, only because of the rooster roll, because it's sloppy, and it's
I haven't had the rooster roll.
And it's gross, and I've always associated it with a hangover cure. And I've always just
Hell yeah. chomped I'll into give a that a go. Roll. But every time I've had Red Rooster, it's been... Just like the chicken's dry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's but in a roll context, that's different.
Yeah,
you want it's got gravy
like,
and...
It's got, mayo and shit in there. I don't even know what's in there, but it's just like this. And the bun, by the time you get it, because it's all hot, the bun just becomes this limp piece of bread and it's soggy. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I've developed a tolerance for it and a taste for it over the years. So I put that as number two. And maybe it's like a nostalgia thing. Like I've always had good memories of just being hungover eating rooster rolls.
Yep.
Maybe. And the same with Chocky Milk as well. That's another
one. Ruta?
Red Ruta. Yeah, I've got names for almost all of the fast food alternative names. Red Ruta or Red Cunt, KF Cunt or Dirty Bird. And I don't – KFC probably – no, KFC is probably a bit down the list because I always get like weird heartburn from it. Although I'd
– That's you, not KFC.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Both, but
that's you
as well.
That's a victim mentality. That's not taking
Stand
any ownership.
Stand up for yourself, you know?
But do you – well, I had
– Take a Zantac before you go.
Do you like nuggets? What would you rate, Macca's or KFC?
Macca's. 100%.
Yeah? No, there's no competition?
No, do you think KFC?
I think – It depends. Like sometimes I'll lean towards KFC.
That's crazy. Yeah. KFC is like the batter and the chicken is separate. The chicken's like, and the batter is like kind of soggy and like dry at the same time. But Mac is like a tempura batter. You've got
That's
the
it.
Crisp on.
It's got
like,
the crunch.
Yeah, it's got the crunch.
It's got the crunch. But I always go for those, especially like in the last couple of years, they have like those, you buy like 40 freaking nuggets for like $8 or whatever it is.
24 for 10, actually.
Oh, there you go.
You're
Sorry.
Fine.
And I always go for that. So I'm like, oh, can I just get six nuggets? And they're like, oh, we've got a deal for like 50 million of them for whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'll get that. Yeah. And so I'm in the car eating them and they're gone within like 5 minutes. And then I feel like throwing up. Yeah. I just get so excited about eating them. And it's like, it's like the never ending box of nuggets. And it's just like, you think you're in heaven, then you just go to hell straight away.
Yeah. I don't like KFC nuggets. That's my stance. I'm kind of over nuggets too, because I've been on this diet where I'm not eating carbs. So I go to Macca's heaps and just get like nuggets, like a burger, like a patty, breadless burger.
So you just ask, what do you say, breadless burger?
It's like, can I get a double cheeseburger, no bun, and six nuggets, please? And it's I'm grossed out by it.
So, because the burgers come in those little boxes.
Yeah.
So they just slap the patties.
Slap the patties in the box, and you eat it with a knife and a fork like a gentleman.
I was gonna say, how do you?
I'm
eat
like
it?
A fucking gentleman.
I just remember that. Oh, there was that episode of Seinfeld years ago where they were eating like Snickers bars with like a knife and fork, and everyone thought it was like ridiculous. And by the end of the episode, everyone was doing it because it sort of just made sense. Like, why wouldn't you? Why would you eat it with your hands? Like, are you an animal?
Yeah.
And yeah, so because I thought, oh yeah, how would you eat a burger without like the bun? But yeah, knife and fork. And are you ashamed of doing that in public? Do you go home and eat your?
I used to be kind of self-conscious about it, but now I just do it. Like,
you just go and sit down.
My lifestyle choice. I look people in the eye as I do it. I'm like, if you have a problem with this, tell me.
Don't judge me.
Yeah.
Or judge me if you dare.
Yeah.
I don't mind a Porto. I think a Porto's okay.
I think a Porto's sick.
But what do you get there? Do you go chili or no chili?
I get chili. I don't get the Bondi burger. I get the maybe. I forget what it is, but it's got the bacon and the pineapple and put chili on it.
Tropical something.
Yeah. Tropical surprise.
Yeah. They've got heaps of stuff there, but I always just, I just go Bondi burger, I think.
Yeah.
And I used to be a pussy for ages because I never get the chili. And then.
You're not a chili boy.
Well, not really a chili willy, but then I developed a bit of a taste for it. And so now I just go for like the triple Bondi burger with chili and then just, and then just hate myself afterwards.
Yeah.
It's just.
I like that cheese that Orgullo, I mean, Oporto does. It's like kind of a light.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a craft. I think it is a craft single, but it just works well on that.
It's a good combo.
Yeah. Are you a big food guy? Do you like food?
I like to eat, but I don't know much about food. Like,
do you cook?
No. Like 2 minute noodles.
Yeah.
Scrambled
does your
egg.
Wife cook?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm lucky. Like, and also, like, she's got the Italian background, so their whole family's all about food. Like, they put importance on it. It's a big family thing. They give a shit about it. So, like, they develop a taste for certain things. And so, for me, it's just like, it becomes too mechanical for me. If I'm hungry, I just need to eat, like, shove something in my mouth and just keep going. But I've become a little bit more of a snob over the years with food, a little bit. But I still don't know anything. Like, I don't watch MasterChef or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, me making food still feels like a waste of time where like I could be doing something else. So I'll usually go and grab something that's probably not meant for dinner, but I'll just grab it out of the fridge and just shove it in my mouth and just keep going. What's your go-to dish?
To cook?
Well, cook or eat.
To eat. Oh, everything, anything. I change it up as much as I can.
Is there anything that you wouldn't eat?
No.
No?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't like asparagus, but I still eat it.
You still eat it?
Yeah.
But why do you eat it? Because you feel that you have to? Or is it just because you might order something and there's asparagus?
So you just go, incidental asparagus.
Okay.
I would never order asparagus.
No, but it might be just a sneaky stealth
piece
that comes out with your
meal. If it's like you've got a fish and there's two bits of asparagus on the side, I'll eat
it. And would you...
I don't know why I don't like it. It's just like... something about it I don't like. It
makes your pee stink when you piss.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
That might be it.
I want good smelling pee.
That's right.
When I'm doing the golden showers.
I have standards with my urine and definitely no asparagus. Are you one of those people that you have to eat everything on the plate? So if you order something.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, or you feel
less
guilty.
Less so now. Yeah. But like, used to be.
I grew up like that. Like, you sort of were forced to eat everything on the plate. Like, and if you didn't, then you're wasting food.
You're a bad person.
Yeah, but now I'm like...
You don't care about anyone in Africa.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, the starving kids.
Like, kick a third world kid in the head.
Yeah, that's right. You don't eat that last bit of mashed potato. Yeah, yeah, you may as well be kicking an African kid in the head. Yeah. So you better eat all my cake. Yes, yes, mum. Yeah, but now I don't care as much. Like, I'll leave shit. Like, if I'm full, I'm full. So I don't.
It's like, it doesn't make sense to keep eating. Like, it's doing nothing for you. You don't need the.
Yeah.
You don't need the food. Like, you've hit a wall. It's worse for you to eat it because you're getting less enjoyment out of it and it's still wasted.
The one that throws me is when you go to...
Do something useful with it. Throw it at a cop.
Well, some places don't even let you take it in a like a doggy bag.
Yeah.
Some people, like, I remember going to like a pizza place out at like, maybe in Liverpool or somewhere out there. And they said, due to health and safety reasons, we can't let you take the food. I'm like, just get it in a doggy bag. Like, put the pizza. It was pizza as well.
Mm.
Put it in a box and let us... Yeah, nah, we can't. They said, if you get food poisoning from this, then you'll come back after us. I'm like, oh, okay. Jeez. What are you? But the thing that throws me is those, you know, those restaurants or even some of the pubs now, like, get a bit fancy. They get the, like, the massive white plate and they put like the food in the middle of the plate. And
yeah.
It's so small in comparison to the plate.
Yeah.
So it looks like you're getting fuck all.
Yeah.
And you pay like $1 million for it.
Yeah.
But then you find that when you eat it, it's actually like filling.
Yeah.
And it actually is the right amount of food. But because they've just served it on this gigantic flying saucer of a dish.
Yeah.
It looks like you're just getting ripped off.
Man, I reckon they should use smaller plates. Fuck with the psychology, you know?
Let everything just hang off the side. Just fall off everywhere.
Yeah, use a saucer.
Oh, man, like, yeah, I'm getting real bang for buck here. Like, just totally getting, like, this...
Totally.
This normal, like, hamburger, like, cheeseburger style.
Yeah.
Like, on a teacup saucer.
Yeah, fuck.
And then charge, like, $25.
I'm thinking, like, a perfect size plate for a burger. Like, it fits exactly into the plate. Exactly, you know what I mean? That's kind of a vibe.
Well, some of them now, they've got, like, the... They've got, like, the wooden chopping board.
Yeah, I hate that.
And they serve it up and they put the burger on there and then they've got, like,
either the freestanding chips.
Yeah, like, in the little basket, or they've just got them sitting there and then, or what do they call it? Like, deconstructing shit?
Yeah.
And so everything's just sort of, like, put it on the platter in front
this
of you.
This is old news. This is, like, this is me. You've been away.
I've been living down the coast.
New and Nara.
Yeah, about these things? He's crazy.
You should call this the New and Nara podcast.
That's right. Only marketed to people down in Nara. Oh, I think people will love it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that stuff's still around and it's like, it's just, I mean, it's crazy. Like, the chopping board thing, like, the amount of, like...
Just like, who cares?
Well, who gives a shit? But it's probably, like, unhealthy anyway, because... Every time someone chops into that board,
you're
there's
creating a divot.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
Bacteria,
so then you've got
to live in.
Like, saliva and slop and just food and shit in there.
Fuck you, chopping board culture.
That's right. And then, you know, there's lots of people out there that go to the toilet, don't wash their hands.
Probably
like, you know, finger the board a bit.
Yeah, use ceramics.
That's right.
Steam it up.
Bring back the ceramics.
Hot it up, baby. Maybe a metal plate. I'm into metal.
Yeah.
You're into metal.
I'm into metal.
Famously.
I like a little bit of metal at times. Bring back the metal plate and the metal bands.
Yeah.
You're still pretty young.
Yeah.
What are you now?
23. A couple of days ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
What was it? I don't even know what today's date is.
Yeah.
August.
Who cares?
Whatever. Yeah. Cool.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I...
Just take a stab.
30.
Older.
35.
Nah, 34.
Almost.
There you go. Yeah.
Long in the tooth.
That's right. Getting on.
No, you're still a millennial.
Well, I don't know when the cutoff is.
I reckon, I don't know.
I don't know.
Who's to say? I'm not a scientist.
That's right. Well, what's the next one? What's after millennial?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Whatever.
I'm excited to find out. You'll get to name it.
Oh, jeez. I'll have to have a think about it.
Yeah.
I'll have to really invest some time into this.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll have to delay the release of this particular episode so I can work it out first, then announce it.
Edit it in.
Yeah, because otherwise someone's going to beat me to it. All right. I'll take that away and have a think.
Oh, yeah.
You're only 23, but you've been doing comedy for quite a few years already.
Yeah.
How the hell do you... get your foot in the door to be a comedian at 15 or 16 years old? Because musos, you sort of just play with a bunch of mates.
Yeah, did you play in high school bands?
I had mates in high school. We sort of just did stuff on the weekends, but like,
was it always metal?
Nah, we had no idea. We just whatever we could play on guitar. So it was just
Wonderwall.
Yeah, like,
smells like teen spirit,
yeah. Shit like that.
That's so. The first one anyone goes to.
Yeah, and because everyone in school likes different music as well, so it's just like wherever you could find common ground.
Yeah.
So it was usually something like that you would just, oh, look, sure, we can play a riff together.
Yeah.
And then you get like one bar in and just give up because
I was in high school, Guitar Hero 3 just came out, so everyone was like kind of into Guitar Hero songs and trying to nail that.
Yeah.
And
did more people pick up a real guitar because of that, or was it just like...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone was kind of into guitar because of that.
Yeah.
And, resurgence. Yeah, we would play Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Then
the guitar people would play, like, Cliffs of Dover and shit like that.
Oh, right. Okay, there you go. Well, yeah. I mean, what happens from a comedian point of view? Like, did you just sort of go, oh, people think I'm funny, or I don't know. Like, I'm dumbing it right down, but...
No, I did speeches in high school and just was always mucking around. And then, like, there was this competition called Class Clowns, and I entered it, and then...
But was that through the school, or was that just...
I just looked it up. I was to do comedy competitions or whatever.
And did you have mates that were doing, like, into it as well, or was it just something you just thought, oh, fuck it, I'll just...
I had a couple of mates who were kind of interested, but they all, like, pulled out.
So no one actually followed through with it? You're the only
one? Yeah, Varun Randev. And then I think a guy did it the year after called Sahan Nanayakara, and Max Seppel did it as well, but none with the raging success that I did.
No, none of them have the longevity that you have.
You're play the long game.
That's it.
I'm long in the tooth.
You're long in the tooth when it comes to comedy. I mean, fuck, like, usually, like, for somebody, like, you know, if you're playing music or whatever and you're in school, you sort of, you ride off the confidence that you get from your mates at school and If you play or whatever, you might do a performance at school or whatever. But, I mean, you've gone outside of school to try and find a foot in the door. I mean, what was that first sort of, I don't know, the first appearance that you did for that competition? What was that like? I mean, you'd had a bit of experience sort of just doing stuff with mates, but you're in front of strangers. What was that like?
It was all right. It was like nerve-wracking at first, but then it was fun.
Did you...
It's fun on... Like, the nerves just go away once you're on stage, but... Yeah.
Did you cop any shit or anything to begin with, or was it awkward?
No, it's like a kid's competition. Like, you'd be an asshole to give anyone shit. It's like a child.
It's like the battle of the
bands. Go up to a child and call them shit at comedy.
It's like the gold star participation. Yeah. It's like, you know, you may have done really shit, but well done for trying.
Yeah.
And was it because was the bar really low as well, so it was easy, like, you know, good competition for yourself?
What are you saying, man?
No, nothing. I don't know. You've got to start somewhere.
No, it was, I don't know. It is low because it's just high school kids. Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, just...
There wasn't any Dave Chappelle's in there.
No. But I just think, like, kids are cunts as well. So... I mean, I guess probably because you're in an area where everyone, like, you're doing a competition that everyone was expecting people to get up and do it, so there was going to be less criticism because everyone knew that you were going to be doing stand-up. Like, I just think that people judge everyone so much in school, so I guess because you were doing a separate competition, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did it go from there as far as how, like, you participate in a competition, whatever the outcome is of that, what sort of things do you do after that? Do we conscious to go, okay, now I've got to do the next thing, or was it just like, I'm enjoying this, so I'll just go and find another competition to do?
Yeah, I just kept doing, I enjoyed it, and then I literally did find another thing, which was like, there was just like an open mic competition at the Roxbury Hotel in Glebe, and like just started doing gigs there, and that's what got me into like the pub open mic scene type thing.
Did you know, I mean, is there certain comedy etiquette around, I don't know, open mics, doing stand-up routines with other acts, things like that, that you had to learn as you went?
Kind of. Like, it just becomes second nature and talked about, like, you kind of hear bits and pieces and you just, like... But I don't know, it's always changing. Everything's always changing. It's life, innit?
The That's, that is life, yeah. Definitely. I mean, what happened after you did all these competitions? Did someone come up to you and say, oh, hey, do you want to do this gig? Or
other people gave me gigs. I remember, like, I did that Roxbury competition and went to the finals in, like, some town hall somewhere, and then a guy came up to me and was like, hey, come in. Do the comedy band. Store. Yeah, I was still a boy, and he touched my asshole. Yeah, my tight butt. So, yeah, my new 50-year-old boyfriend.
Gave you an opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah, hell yeah. So he gave me his card and then... started doing the comedy store, and the rest is history.
It's I don't know. I mean, when I first started playing on stage, and I've told this a million times to different people, so they'll probably be sick of me saying it. But like when I did my first gig on stage in front of people, I had like jelly legs, and just like I was so self-conscious about being in front of people.
What do you play in
Bass guitar.
In Lord Official? Oh,
Lord
bass.
Lord Official, yeah. Yeah, play bass.
Me too.
We should change our name to Lord Official, actually. It might be easier. Yeah, bass guitar. And like
you guys are Lord.
Yeah, just Lord.
I love royals, man.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, that's good joke. I've heard that one before. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think I'll cut that out. I'll send it to you so you can use it for your show.
Yeah.
fuck. The first gig I ever did.
I wish you were Lord. That'd be sick if I was on Lord's podcast.
Well, you'd probably get better exposure, bigger audience as well. It'd probably be more valuable for you as well. Better
well,
for your career, you know.
Hey.
Yeah, you get
look
more
where we are now.
Who knows? Who knows where
starting
I'm
starting from the bottom.
Who knows where I'm going? Who knows where you're going? The time will tell.
Yeah.
But first time I went on stage, I could barely stand up.
Yeah.
And the second time I went on stage, somebody, a housemate of mine, said, yeah, I had that problem. What I did is I rubbed deep heat into my legs, and then the burning sensation of on your legs distracted you from the fact that you're playing on stage.
What's DP?
Like, it's like what people put into their muscles for sports injuries. And
rub.
Is this sort of like fixed vapor rub or something like that?
Yeah,
it's not quite,
like
but it's something,
yeah.
It's an ointment.
Sure.
That gives you that burning sensation. So I thought, oh, fuck, makes sense. So I did it and like got on stage, and everyone like in front was just going, fuck, can you smell deep heat? It was just wafting because I put way too much on. I just panicked, overcompensated, just doused my legs in deep heat. And for the whole show, and this is like the Empire Hotel in Annandale, and it was just the entire pub just smelled like deep heat.
Fuck, yeah.
But it worked. It worked. But over the years, I've gotten used to playing on stage, but I've got a guitar in front of me.
Yeah.
And it's become this thing where I feel like psychologically I'm hiding behind a guitar.
Yeah.
Have you ever, like for you, I mean, you got a microphone. That's it.
Yeah, totally. But I feel like sometimes I've done gigs without a microphone and it feels so weird.
Well, like a lapel mic or something like that? Like, or just
not even, sometimes a lapel, but sometimes when you're just like doing a uni show or some show somewhere and then they don't have a mic.
So you just
so you do it theatre style.
Theatre style.
Do it actor style.
Do you find that you've got to find things to do with your hands?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Do you get conscious about it?
Some people get conscious. I get strong. You know what I mean? Every day, live every day like it's your last.
Do you
yesterday you
power
said
power moves. Power moves with your arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've got a mic, then I guess you can sort of, you can move it around in your hands.
Yeah, you got the mic. I play with the mic stand a lot.
Yep.
I like doing that.
I noticed a lot of comedians will do that. So they'll take the mic off. They'll go for a walk. Then they'll come back and put it back on the mic stand for like half a second.
Yeah.
Then they take it back off again. And
hell
then
yeah.
Adjust
that's all
it.
The technique.
Ah, right. This is
that's
industry.
Deep school.
Deep school.
That's one school of thought. Personally, I don't agree with it.
No.
I don't think it works.
You're anti.
You take it out. My school of thought, you take out the mic once. You keep it out until you're ready to finish. You put it on before the final joke. You deliver the final punchline into the mic on the mic stand.
That's the indication to the audience that you're wrapping it up. When that mic goes back into the
into
the holster.
That shows you're part of the Dogma 69 movement.
what sort of mic techniques are you using? apart from
suck on the tip of the mic after every joke. That's to show you're true.
Do you have your own like custom mic? So some singers,
yeah,
they've got their own microphone that they'll really bring to a gig.
Sam Campbell used to have a microphone. He sprayed gold and he'd take out the mic and then put in the gold one. It's
yeah, I mean,
dumb as shit.
But at least there's some comedic element to it. There's like heaps of vocalists that bring their own mic because sometimes you just get dealt with a really shit mic and they get a bit touchy about that. But sometimes it's like hygiene as well. You've got dudes just like spray into mics over and over and they never get cleaned.
Yeah.
So people get a bit paranoid about it. But do you see a lot of comedians that have like their own little setup that they use?
Never. You just use the one that
just whatever's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever's there.
Apart from the Diva Campbell.
The Diva Campbell.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I'll have to find a photo. Have you got a photo of that mic?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn. All right, I might track him down.
There's a video. I'll send you a video.
Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Otherwise, we'll get his mobile number and give him a call later.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right,
scsamcampbell@gmail.com.
Send your emails of inquiry. He'll provide a photo on request.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, September, you're going to do festival dates?
Yeah.
What else is
Sydney
happening
Fringe
in the near to long term, long in the tooth future?
Going to India for some gigs in November.
India?
Yeah.
What's happening over there? How did you hook that one up?
It's through Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Oh, right. Is there a bunch
doing
of new
road
guys
show
that are doing?
Yeah, like three other comedians.
And is it
Guy Montgomery, who hosts another do you know him?
I've heard of him.
He's got a big, big podcast.
Does he?
Really intimidating.
There you go.
Maybe
I'm a bogan podcaster as well. Just don't know anything.
Yeah.
And who else?
Mel Buttle, great comedian. Yeah. Hosts Great Australian Bake Off. And then Daniel Connell, a despicable gentleman and disgusting, has very stinky eyes as well.
Very stinky eyes.
I slap him with my foot.
And what are you doing, multiple places in India or is it just one?
Yeah, heaps of places. Like we're going to be there for a month. We actually start in Malaysia and then go all throughout India.
Far out.
Yeah.
Have you been over there before?
Never. I've been to Malaysia, not India.
I've been to Malaysia. I've been to two cities.
You played shows in Malaysia?
Yeah.
KL?
Jawa and KL. Yeah.
Cool.
And,
How's the Malaysian metal scene?
Yeah, pretty full on. They're like, they love their like extreme metal. So death metal and black metal and stuff like that. And we play like 80s cheesy power metal. So it's like lots of.
How'd you guys go over there?
Yeah, all right. Not too bad because I think.
What's your favorite metal scene that you played in?
Oh, favorite one. Japan's probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
Japan's really good. Yeah.
October.
Are you doing stuff over there as well?
I might. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just going on a trip.
What's the comedy scene like in Japan?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know Japan. In China, it's like small, but kind of cool.
Yeah.
India's huge in like multiple languages.
I could see it working in India.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of Indian mates who like there's a level of humor in their culture, which I think they just embrace a lot of that stuff, and they're big on all of their own like their Bollywood scene and everything like that. There's just there's a comedic sort of undertone to a lot of what they do, a lightheartedness.
Yeah.
So it'd probably go down really well. Japan's weird though. Like Japan's like super cool people, but audiences are really weird. So when you play on stage, they go crazy. And like they work all the time. It feels like they're working like 7 days a week. So when you play, you've got like the front row are all people in business clothes, like white shirts and black ties. Like they've just come out of the office and straight to a metal gig and you play and they've got their hands up and the horns out and they're just going crazy. And then you stop the song and they go dead silent and they just look at you. And what they're doing is they're waiting for you to say something and they want to be respectful of you and not talk while you're talking.
That's awesome.
But it's so intimidating because you just don't know. And so then you say something in English and you go, oh, you know, how are you guys doing tonight? And then it's just like, like a few people go, oh yeah, right. And the rest of them are like, just looking at you politely.
That's sick.
I don't want to interrupt
you. I respect Japan.
But so what you have to do then is we go, and it becomes so cheesy. You go, Tokyo! And then they go, yeah! And so you got to sort of just throw these big over-the-top sort of rock star sort of things to get them into it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like, and if we play with Japanese bands, what they do is in between the songs, they stop, they go silent, the crowd goes silent, and then the singer just has a normal conversation with the crowd. So it'd be like, hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, doing really good. Yeah, went down the shop the other day and yeah, and the price of milk's really expensive these days and blah, blah, blah. And the crowd's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, okay. And it's like, it's no more energetic than that. And it goes for like 10 minutes and you go, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, come on, next song. And then so he's like, yeah, anyway. So the next song is blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yeah. And then they kick into the next song. And it's just fuck, like, you're sitting on the side of the stage going,
that sounds awesome.
It's weird. It's so different. But so then I think, yeah. I don't know how comedy would go there. But it could be.
But you'd probably not play to Japanese audiences. You'd probably play to expats. Yeah, probably.
And I mean, they've got comedy. They have comedy.
They have like Japanese comedy and stuff. I know people who've done Japanese comedy there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know anything about comedy in Japan. They're pretty funny people.
Yeah, like all their TV is so funny.
Fuck, their
like TV. Like Silent Library and shit.
Silent Library is the best. I love it.
Like, that's hilarious.
So good. Just like, just basically torture each other.
Yeah.
Just don't make any noise, otherwise we're going to, like, put a pine cone up your ass or something like that.
Japan's sick, man.
So have you been there before?
No, the first time.
Oh, it's going to be so cool. Are you just going to Tokyo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any tips on living there? I mean, being there?
Being a part of the
the rat race?
Rat race? I don't know. It depends on where you're going to be in Tokyo. Shinjuku's cool.
Can you use your MasterCard there?
You can use your MasterCard there, yeah.
Fuck yeah. So I don't even have to get money out.
No, you don't. No, they've got international ATMs. And their post office, they've got ATMs there as well. So if you can't find an ATM, go to a post office.
Man, China's so difficult compared to Japan.
Yeah.
Like, you have to get a visa to travel.
Yeah, that's fucked, yeah.
And, like, you can't use any of your cards there. You have to get a special China card.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you can't get a SIM card, really. You have to dodgily get a SIM card.
Yeah, what did I do over there? Oh, there's a few companies here in Australia that you can get.
Like Chinese SIM cards.
For Japan, I just ordered a Japanese SIM card and they just sent one out. And
you could probably get one at the airport.
You probably could.
Yeah.
Yeah. You used to be able to, like, purchase a modem. A wireless modem, then you put it in your bag and walk around. But now, like, you just buy, like, a SIM card for, like, $20 and it just sorts you out for however long you're
Japan.
There.
Man, Japan. Good on you.
It's awesome. All right, man. India, Japan. Got festival dates coming up.
Are you doing anything
on the televisions?
Yeah, I got a thing coming out called Back in Very Small Business. It was a sitcom I acted in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When's that coming out?
September 5th.
Fuck, it's all happening.
Yeah.
So next time, they probably will never be able to speak to you again because you'll just shoot to the top of
off already.
You're gonna pass Carl Barron's status before we know
Carl Barron's status.
Next time, I'll have to go through several gatekeepers to get to you. Oh, can I speak to Aaron Chen? No, sorry.
Not Twitter anymore.
Sorry, you got to go to these next RSL show.
Totally.
Thank you, folks. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Mr. Chen. If you want to reach out to Aaron, you can do so in a whole range of different ways. But the most easiest way is to go to andysocial.net, click on the show notes. I'll have all of Aaron's social media links in there. I'll have a bunch of my favorite videos of Aaron in there. And you can even scroll through your podcast player and the show notes should show up in there as well. So you can just click on the links there or just search for Aaron Chen, whatever. I'm sure you'll work it out. But anyway, andysocial.net, go over there. Heaps of stuff there as always. Now, before we wrap it up, anybody that's a fan of Lord, I'll give you a quick album update. We are getting closer and closer and closer. We are almost finished recording. We've got a final few pieces to track, but it's sounding pretty damn good in my big, fat, biased opinion. The artwork is almost done. So painful. Oh, we'll talk about that one day down the track, but the artwork looks really cool. So we're almost there and you guys should recognize the artist. At least you metal folk should recognize the artist when you see the artwork, but we're really happy with it. We're just waiting on the final versions of it to be provided to us. And then hopefully we can get an announcement out there sometime soon. But this has all been long overdue. It's been like 5 years since the last studio album. We've done a bunch of EPs and box sets and all sorts of stuff in between, but the studio album has been long overdue. So we are so desperate to get this out and we are just chomping at the bit to show you guys what we've been working on. We're really proud of it and excited to share it. So hopefully we'll have an announcement soon. There will be a tour off the back of that as well, and a bunch of other things. We are going to be filming some video clips at the end of November as well. So we're getting ready to dive into the whole press campaign also. And speaking of press, if anyone has a podcast themselves or knows of a good podcast that I can get on and have a chinwag, I'd love to do my own press for the album as well as the band themselves. So if you've got any suggestions, flick them through and we'll start throwing a list together of people we should be approaching to talk about the band, talk about basically whatever, who cares. It's always good to have a bit of a chinwag on a podcast. So suggestions are welcome. And that's about it, folks. I don't think there's anything else worth updating at this stage. No doubt there's some more news and some little interesting things coming on the horizon. So just stay tuned and, you know, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And I'm sure you'll see lots of updates as we go as well. But as always, thank you so much, folks, for supporting me, supporting the podcast, supporting the band, Self-Starter, Antisocial, blah, 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 blah. Until next week, folks, take care. Bye-bye.
Larry, please.